I can't put this thing around my ear because it just feels funny. If everybody will, we're glad y'all are here at Whites Ferry Road, and we're glad you're here for Bible class. We get started right at 9:30. And in this particular room, we have the class known as Gospel 101. And this morning, we've got one of the leaders here at Whites Ferry Road, a very inspirational young man, big into CR, which is a great ministry for us. And he's gonna lead the class today, and that's this man right here, Mr. Chad Johnson. Come on up, Chad. Everybody give Chad a round of applause.
Morning. Is this thing working? This ain't working? All right, I'm going to get started in prayer. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your knowledge, your wisdom, and your understanding. Father, today I pray for eyes to be open and for ears to hear your message and what you have in store today, God. Thank you for Jesus and what he does for us. In Jesus Christ's name we say, amen. All right, well, approximately 25 hours from now backwards to yesterday, I was left Texas, but not unscathed by the Texas State Wildlife Game Wardens. Now look, that's the last people you want to meet when you've killed something. So the game wardens show up, they start checking this, checking that, paperwork, get down to little bitty tabs. They're like, you got to cut your pocket knife and cut that little piece off and that piece off. Of course, I didn't have my little pieces cut off. I didn't have ink where I was supposed to. So because my ink and my little tabs were not where they were supposed to be when they showed up, ensued some paperwork. I was like, have mercy. So they wrote me some paperwork, and they said, look, we're going to give you a warning. I said, I like that. That's a warning. And the other guy was rattling off how much currency if they decided to go the guilty as charged route and find some tickets. But we didn't get any tickets. He said, I'm writing you a warning so that you will remember what to do when you come back to Texas. I said, 10-4, we're leaving Texas as fast as we can. So look, when you go to Texas to kill something, have all your paperwork. Bring a sharp knife because you got to cut two little bitty tiny pieces of paper off your tag. If you don't, it'll cost you. All right, I'm glad you're here. We're going to be talking about life after death. Life after death. Here recently, I had the privilege of conducting the funeral, conducting the marriage for one of my daughters, Kylie. So look, there's a little bit of pressure if you're like the preacher man doing the wedding. You know, you're before God, you're before the state of Louisiana, everybody's looking at you, you got your daughter there, everybody's crying, you got to hold it together. Well, on top of doing the lesson, if you're the dad of the bride, that means you still got to be the one to set up the chairs, the flowers, the lights, and you're the go-to man to get it done. So it wasn't just doing the lesson. I had a lot of pressure. So my wife called and said, look, I need you to go to Hobby Lobby. Now look, I'm like, ooh, I mean, that's the last place I want to be is a Hobby Lobby, you know. I'm a hunter, I'm a redneck, you know, I'll be cruising around Hobby Lobby. But because I'm working on my manhood, I'll go to Hobby Lobby, no problem. So I get the stuff, I'm in line, and this woman comes up to me. She says, you need to change lines. You need to get in that other line. Yes, ma'am. I go over here. I get another line. I'm waiting. I'm standing in the line. I thought, man, that's strange, you know. She told me just to move. So I come to, like, the little checkout, and everything narrows in. It's like cows going through a chute. You finally get down. You're the one in line. And I look, and there's a book. The book says, Not Just a Hobby. By David Green, CEO of the company. Now, I'm not big on Fox News. I hear what's going on out in the world, but I know that Hobby Lobby took a stand against our nation and won. I also know that there's a lot of Hobby Lobbies around the United States. So, I deducted with my high school education that this guy is successful, a God-fearing man successful. So I grab the book, I flip through, I like what I'm reading, I check the price, it's $9.99. Not bad. I think I'll take it. I'm going on a deer hunt to Texas, a little deer stand material. I'll take it. So I start reading the book. I get in the stand. I'm reading the book. And the question comes to my mind. This question right here comes to my mind. What is my definition, I'm abbreviating for time, of being successful? Probably an E in there. What is my definition of being successful? I got about 5 questions this morning. So my first question to you is what, you don't have to answer. What is your definition of being successful? So I'm going to take a poll, okay? There's 3 answers. You can have a 4th one, but I'm doing the lesson, so I made 3 answers. The first answer, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you know what being successful is to you. If you have that definition. If you're like, I got that. You're going to raise your hand. The second answer that you can choose is going to be like, well, I don't know. It's a good question. That's your second answer. The third answer is, what? I don't know. I just got here. I'm here. So look, the first two, you can raise your hand. If you know, if you have a clue. So you're not telling anybody. You're just like, I have a clue. So if you have a clue of what being successful is, raise your hand. Okay? If you're like, you know, hadn't thought about it much. Good question. Raise your hand. All right. If you're in the group like me and you're just like, man, I'm doing good just to go through the motions. I'm here. Raise your hand. Well, so I'm going to give you my answer right here a little bit later on. But first, I'm going to give you the tools. I'm going to ask you 2 more questions. In order to get to that answer, in my opinion, Bill always says opinions like elbows. Everybody's got a couple of them. My opinion, in order to get to here's what successful looks like, I'm saying you need 2 things. You need a picture and you need a plan. The picture is whatever it is you deem successful. It may be, if you're like me, I want my boats to run. I want them to work when you crank it. It needs to start. The boat doesn't need to leak. Trailer lights working is not a big successful thing to me. It will be one day. It's not even achievable right now. I don't know what the deal is with trailer lights. It may be money, it may be fame, it may be sports. Whatever it is to you, you have an image. You have the big picture. That's what motivates you. That's what drives you. If you're wanting to build a home, you have an image. And you wives, you think about how you want the kitchen laid out and all this stuff. And the guy's thinking about the mucho grande buck coming in. So, you have to have a picture. You have to have a goal. You have to have a dream in mind to even get to this point. Now, if you're fortunate enough to have the image, that's what drives, that's the motivator. So you have the image, then you need the plan, the how-tos. What's it going to take for me to get there? A budget, a plan of action. I'm going to fill stuff up. I'm going to plan and get stuff done. If you have these 2 vehicles in place, you can get to here, which is your opinion as to what is successful. I want you to look, while we're building our answers here, I want you to look at Matthew 7, 7 through 15. Matthew 7. Actually, 15. Matthew 7, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or from fig thistles? Likewise, otherwise, good tree bears good fruit, but bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit, that does not bear good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. The main vehicle here is fruit, bearing fruit. And this is going to tie into what we're talking about being successful. There's either good fruit or there's bad fruit. Look one more at John 15, 1 through 8. John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it would be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word. You're clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Jesus was writing this to his disciples. He was fixing to send them out. I mean, they were fixing to just be sifted by the world. I'm a maintenance planner at the mill, and my job is to plan. That's my job, is to plan. Once every 6 weeks, we turn off our paper machine, take it apart, put it together. The average time scheduled, 10, 12 hours. Once a year, we turn it off for 6 days, take it apart, work on it, put it back together. This machine is about 5 stories tall, 300 yards long. There's a lot of parts wearing out right now while we speak. Something's tearing up. I will have to go get fixed. So in order to pull off a plan like this, you got to be organized. Everybody's got to do their part. You get stuff planned ahead of time. So I have this guy come in. He says, look, it's the day before the outage. Like, I've been planning on this thing for almost a year. The day before the outage. Hey, man, I need to get something done. Really? I said, well, you might want to go find somebody to get that done for you because we're full. We're done, you know. I just flared him right off. He just ran on back out of there. Well, here comes his boss. Boss comes in, pulls a little stroke. Yep, we need to get this done. Last minute thinkers. I love them. I love them. So here comes the guy back in there again. I said, well, you pulled rank on me. What do you need? He tells me what he needs. And we start getting into conversation, as usual. And he starts complaining that he's been in his job for 30 years, hadn't moved up the ladder, frustrated, just being out of shape. He's just griping. And I'm thinking, you come in here, interrupt me at the last minute, and you're going to walk in my office and start griping? I said, I got a question for you. I said, you're a Christian? In the middle of his griping, he looks at me. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a Christian. That's a good deal. I said, I have a question for you. What kind of fruit do you bear? That was my question. He's stunned. He's looking at me like, he says, I don't know. I said, really? He said, no one's ever asked me that question. I said, you're a Christian? You work for the Creator that made the ground we're standing on? And you don't know what kind of fruit you bear? Really? I've never even thought about it. Wow. Well, as you might digest, a little more conversation comes on. And a little bit more, So we lay all the chips on the table. Marriage is on the rocks, frustrated, being out of shape. Everything in his life's negative. I don't find it a coincidence that there is an individual with a mess in one hand, just a teetotal mess. And the other hand is clueless about what fruit he bears. Never even thought about it. I wonder if they go hand in hand. Look at Matthew 13. We're going to start about verse 15. He's talking to this is Jesus. He's talking to a large crowd on the bank of the river or on the lake. So they're just sitting out there. They're sitting on dirt. And he tells them the story of the farmer planting seeds. Everybody's like, ah, yep, got that. Seed going here, going there. Yep, I got that too. We're going to pick it up in verse 15. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I'd heal them. Verse 16. Blessed are your eyes because they see. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men have longed to see what you see, but did not see it and did not hear it. They didn't hear what you hear. I have a question for y'all in the audience. What fruit do you bear? I'm going to give you three options again. Same three options. One, I know what fruit I bear. Answer number one. Answer number two, good question. I'm not sure. Answer number three, man, I just got here. I'm going through life. I'm going through the motions. So we're going to take a poll. I know what fruit I bear. Good question. Man, I just got here. And thinking of the questions, I know there's not going to be many to raise the hand on the third one, because that's a reflection of, hey, if I raise my hand, what's everybody going to think of me? I'm going to raise my hand for y'all. There's many days and many times in my life when I was like, I'm just going through the motions. I'm just here. If I counted all the hands, only about an eighth of the people in here said, I know what it is, good question. So the majority of us possibly may just be going through the motions. So this guy, this individual, let me read this first. 19, Jesus said, listen to what this parable means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it. So there's groups that don't understand it. The evil one comes in and snatches away what was sown in the heart. The evil one snatches it out. This is the seed that's sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Just fired up. I'm all about being fired up. But there's a problem. But he has no root. I don't know how many of y'all run your 25s down the Ouachita River, but if you do and you see an oak tree by the side of the river, you're going to see a root. We call it a root wad. When you tie your trot line off, you say it's tied off to a root wad. Roots run out into the river. That's what's holding them. Roots, they're dug in. Those trees, they bend, but they don't come over because their roots are dug in. 22. The one who received the seed that fell among thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness, the deceiving, deceiver, sounds like Satan, a deceiver, the deceitfulness of wealth choked it out and made it unfruitful. Everybody run around trying to get rich, make money. Maybe currency might have failed in this area here. I just need to make a little more money. If I could just make a little more money, I'd be happy. Man, if I could just hit it one time. I shared with this guy pretty staunchly, meaning I didn't beat around the bush. I finally told him, I said, you know, I know why you're in my office. I know why you're here. I don't know if you know why you're here. I'm referring to the gentleman in my office. I said, God's trying to tell you. You have eyes that don't see and you have ears that don't hear. I'm telling this to the guy. I said, you're claiming Jesus is Lord and your life is a mess. What's missing? Why do you not know what fruit you bear? I don't know. Why not? Is it a lack of understanding? I don't understand. Is it possibly worries of the world and the deceitfulness of currency that's driving me to where I'm not focused on bearing fruit? Maybe the world takes me away from my big picture. What does it take to be able to see? This is kind of funny. I don't know if they do it other parts of the country, but I know we do it here in Louisiana. Do you see what I'm saying? Well, I mean, literally, no, you know, I don't see. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, down here we say it a little differently. Hey, you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Really? When we say, as Southerners, do you see what I'm saying? And someone says, I see what you're saying. What we are doing is, do you understand what I'm saying? And then the recipient says, but we say, I see what you're saying. We say, I understand what you're saying. But we say, ah, I see what you're saying. It's kind of funny. How many arguments have taken place with a male and a female in a marriage in this room? I'll be guilty as charged. You don't see what I'm saying. Why can't you see what I'm saying? Why did Jesus say you have eyes but you don't see? You have ears but you don't hear. Was Jesus saying, do you understand? Do you understand what this life is about? Why are you letting life's worries choke us out? Don't give in to the temptation of currency. Guilty, 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 guilty. So, if I were to take a poll, I'm not done, I'm flipping my page here. Good night. My third question. Can you see? Can you hear? Everybody I'm looking at's got eyes and ears. Can you see? Can you hear? If I could see and hear, I would know what kind of fruit. I would know what kind of fruit I bear. You know what gives me a whole bunch of peace is this one statement right here. Matthew 7. This to me is what sums up the big picture. No. That's John 15. Sorry. I'm going to wait till I get there because it's heavy. Mark, Luke, and John ought to be right there. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Here's the picture. My answer, this is my answer, because I finished the book. My answer of being successful is to know Him and His will for my life. That, to me, did you succeed in life? Go to a funeral, did the man succeed? Was he successful? If you're worldly and you're in the world of doing worldly stuff, I guess so. He made a lot of money, he made a lot of boats, whatever it is. To the world, that's successful. My opinion is I want to know Him and I want to know His will for my life. Guess what the good news about this is? I don't have to dream. It doesn't have to be a lifelong, I hope I make it goal to be successful at the end of my life. I'm hoping to reach success when I'm 80 or 90. I can be successful. I can succeed in life today. I can succeed in life today for me because I know Him and I understand His will for my life. It sounds a lot like 2 Thessalonians 1:8. He's going to punish those who do not know Him and have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's similar. There's nothing more that's going to fire me up than knowing I'm working for the Creator who made the earth that rotates, the stars and everything in it. He is the gardener. Gardeners clip, prune. Look, the gardener's the one that planted the garden anyway. He's the one that planted the stuff. All kinds of fruit. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. Anything that's going to run out there and do its own thing, the gardener, clip, don't need that. It's just doing it on its own. He's not a part of me. Clip, clip. He even prunes the ones that are bearing fruit. Potatoes, you get a tractor and a plow and you rip the earth. That's how you get potatoes out of the ground. Okra, you cut it. Purple hull peas, pull it. Corn, break it. Everything's harvested differently. So you may be getting pruned, cut. You might be a potato head like me. You just get ripped out of the ground. Come on, Johnson. Gonna take a tractor to get this boy straight. In order to see and hear, Ephesians 4:26, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another, comma, and pray for one another. This be question number 4. Who do you confess to? We're not taking a poll. Who do you confess to? I'm giving you time to think. Bob, Joe, Jan. If the answer's good question, I think there could be a situation where there's a lot of stuff getting carried around. When I'm carrying worldly junk, guilt, shame, bitterness, hate, selfishness, I lose sight of what I should be doing, bearing fruit. I lose sight of the big picture. I just Get away from the plan. Ephesians 2:10. I'm going to read this one. Man, that's quick. This is awesome. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship." Does that make sense? You have the Creator in the garden. He's working. That's His. We are a product of His workmanship. Do you look like God's trimmed and molded on you? I can tell you, we're involved in my life, changing lives. People are changing. We see workmanship. We see it in the eyes. We see it in their smile. We see it in their attitude. You can look at God's workmanship. People are transformed. They are not the way they used to be because light is coming out of them. They look happy. The London dude come over here from overseas. He's like, "Y'all seem like y'all are really happy." Yeah, we are. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." We're in the vine, we're in the branches, we're in the garden. God's clipping it. "Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." He's the gardener. He goes out there to plant stuff. He wants to bear fruit, to harvest, to pick. He's going to work it. He's prepared in advance for us to do. I got another question. What are you doing? We don't have to go through the same three. It may be, "I know what I'm doing." It may be, good question. It may be like me, Chad Johnson. You may be like, "God, I'm trying to get through this. I'm just trying to get through life." Just getting through life does not look like what God planned for. He tells Jeremiah, he said, "Before I formed you, I knew you. Before I even planted the seed, I knew what I was going to do." Psalms 139, he says, "I knit you together in your mother's womb." Romans 9:21, they had a little scuffle about, "Well, you know, God made me like this, made me like this." Says, "Hey, I'm the potter, you're the clay. Some for noble purposes, some for common." So I go back to the guy that has the dilemma on one hand and the "I have no idea" on the other. Thinking, God is the gardener. He prepared in advance. He knew me before He formed me. He knit. You're either a blackberry, a potato, a carrot, or something. I don't know. But you're in the vine. I don't know what fruit you are. Some of you are pretty fruity looking people. I'm one of them. I got scars all over me. I look like something that got burnt. He says, "Go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." I have a question. It's my last question. Oh, maybe not. I may have one more question. What lasts forever? You can get a little comment here. What lasts forever? Gospel? Kimbrough? Where's Kimbrough? Good work, Kimbrough. The only thing I know that lasts forever is the Holy One, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Everything else is going to be wiped away. New heaven, new earth. If everything's going to be destroyed and wiped away, nothing in this answer here about being successful should be tied in at all with anything that's going to be wiped away. He says to bear fruit and fruit that will last. So I think the answer to being successful, to succeed in life, is to bear fruit in Him, knowing we plant seeds of Jesus. We plant seeds. We're planting everlasting transformation, changed lives, unveiling the lives, helping people that are blind, that cannot see, helping people that can't hear to hear. That's the only thing that lasts. I got chill bumps. I got all carried away. When I personally have and understand His will for my life, which is to bear fruit for last, you know what that helps me do? I can overlook an insult. It's okay. Maybe I'm having a bad day and I'm stressed, worried. I'm trying to plan this big, massive machine. Maybe my wife, maybe, you know, we're struggling with life. We're just trying to get through it. Who's going to cut somebody some slack? Is it us? Or do we gnash our teeth and make them pay? I found that being forgiving helps me see. It helps my eyes hear. If I'm not forgiving as Jesus has forgave me, I'm blind. I can't see. Fruit? What? Yeah, let's eat something. When I can see, I know what the gardener wants. I know why he's pruning me. I understand. When people walk into my office, I know why they're there. It's not to cut a piece of sheet metal, buddy. Here's the message. Confess to one another. Remove the darkness. You may be like me, Romans 8, 26. I'm going to read this one. I'd advise y'all to write this one down. Romans 8, 26. In the same way the Spirit, I'm going to put me in there, helps me in my weakness. I do not know what I ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with groans for me that words cannot express. And He, that'd be Jesus, who searches my heart, knows the mind of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for me in accordance with God's will. My mother-in-law is sitting right over here. I have nothing to hide. I was negative and critical. You don't have to be amening over there. It's about time that boy figured it out. I had to get on my hands and knees and say, God, I know that You've given me Your Spirit. I need for the Spirit You gave me to intercede on my behalf. I don't know how to change me. I just know I need to change me. I need to quit being negative. I need to quit being critical. It creates a poor environment. There is a plan. If we understand the big picture, that Jesus did come down here. He died for us. He was buried. We put these things to death. Our life after death, we died to that mess. Or supposed to have. Life after death ought to look a lot differently. We ought to be kind, generous, loving, able to let something go, turning away from our old lives, moving on to new lives, realizing We're fruit. We're good fruit that lasts. I'm going to close with, you may be a newcomer, you may be a visitor. Maybe, I hope that your definition of becoming successful is to know Him and to know His will for you, which is to bear fruit, fruit that lasts in whatever you do, whatever it is. I hope you're able to see what kind of fruit you bear. That's a drive. That's a motivator like I've never seen before. To know God's counting on you when you get up in the morning. Man. You realize the end result. None of this other stuff matters. If you're guilty like me, if you're selfish, if you react before thinking, rude, negative, lashing out, cutting down. If you're guilty of being in an argument with your spouse and you both wind up saying, you don't see what I'm saying. I'm going to say you confess your sins to someone and you pray with them. You'd be like, man, I'm the one that blown it. I'm coming to this guy. God's word said you confess to one another and you pray for each other. And it equals healing. Healed. That's what happens in hospitals. We're healed. Ah, I can see now. I can hear. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to close this out with a prayer. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for eyes that see. Thank you for ears that hear. I pray, Father, that we remain in you daily, understanding what your will for us is, to bear fruit, fruit that lasts, the fruit of hope, the fruit of change, to help unlock our own marriages, our own families that are trapped in darkness, that we can come out in the light to where we can lead others towards you. God, I know that you have people in here that are hearing this word that need to respond today when they get ready to do that, to ask for prayers, to confess, to pray, and to put you on as Jesus is Lord. God, I thank you for what you do for us. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen.